Good morning and welcome to worship with Greystone Online. We are so glad that you have chosen to worship with us in this way. And if this is your primary connection with us, we hope that you might send us an email or a message on social media and let us know who you are and let us know that you're here worshiping with us today. It is good to be together through technology, however we can during this time of distancing, and we give God thanks for the gift of connection, the gift of relationship, and the gift of Christian community. Today at Greystone, we are in the second week of a sermon series on boldness. Last week, we talked about being bold in spirit, and we considered the ways that the Spirit calls us forward down uncharted paths. And today we're going to talk about bold in love, because when we follow that Spirit and we read the words of Jesus and we study the life and ministry of Jesus, we see that not only are we called to be bold, to follow the movement of God's Holy Spirit in this world, but we are also called to love boldly in every circumstance in which we find ourselves. So today we're going to read from the Gospel of John, and we're going to think about this word love, what it means, and how God is calling us to love more boldly. Let us worship God together this day.
Talking about love. One of the first verses we teach children is to love one another. You may have learned that verse when you were little. It sounds simple, doesn't it? In chapter 15 of the book of John, Jesus tells his followers that he loved them just the same way that God loved Jesus. He goes on to say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And do you know what he says in that same section? He says, "Here is my commandment. Love each other as I have loved you." He tells the disciples that they are his friends now. Then he tells them again, "Here is my commandment. Love each other." So this love thing must be pretty important, right? Jesus is talking about the kind of love where you want what is good for the other person. He isn't just talking about loving people in our family, although we are supposed to love the people in our family. And he isn't just talking about loving people who can do something for us or help us out. He's talking about loving everyone. He even wants us to love people who are not very lovable, because he loves us when we're not very lovable. What are some ways you can show love to other people? Well, you can start right where you are. with the people you're around every day. One way to show your parents that you love them is obeying their rules. That's a way we can show God we love God too, by obeying God's rules. And you can treat your parents with respect and be kind to them. You can also show love to your brothers and sisters by treating them with respect and being kind to them. But how are we going to love other people right now? Some of us may not even be seeing other people right now. Or you may be back in school in person. You can show love to people in your class, because loving people is wanting what's best for them. So there may be a way that you could help someone in your class who needs help. When we're online, we can show love by using kind words instead of saying unkind things about people or making fun of people. Or you can stand up for someone if someone is making fun of them. So I want you this week, in everything that you do, to think about, is this showing love? Because remember, Jesus said it was his commandment that we love each other. It's not something we can do only if we want to. It's something that we're supposed to do.
Graystone family, join me in prayer, please. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Even the mountains, trees, and streams shout to your glory. You have made humans as the capstone of your creation. You have made all of us. You know us by name. You knit us together before we were born. You know how many hairs are on our head. You placed us in families to be loved. On this day, we thank you for the gift of mothers who carried us with life. You continually reach to us with an overwhelming love. We recognize we do not deserve such love, and yet we love some and ignore others. Who are we to deny anyone your love? Your love flows even to the unlovely. May we be willing to show your way to all people by word and action. May we love others as you love us. Take the cataracts from our eyes that we may see the way you hug every human being. You beckon us to follow, but we are sometimes hesitant. Forgive us when we hesitate. Forgive us when we love other human beings less than you love them. Help us to see the joy of your way, even when the way is hard. Help us to embrace people in a world that is diverse. We ask for your strength as we go forward with love. I make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 7 through 17. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I love you. Je t'aime. Te quiero. I'm crazy about you. I don't want to live without you. You take my breath away. You're my better half. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, just ask. I'll go with you. There are a million ways to say, I love you. And there are about a million sermons on love, if not more. Some focus on 1 Corinthians 13, also known as the love chapter. Others draw distinction upon the different Greek words for love. Eros, romantic love. Philia, the love of friendship. Ludus, playful love. Pragma, long-standing love. Philautia, the love of self. And of course, agape, love for everyone. In many ways, writing and preaching and hearing a sermon on love makes us want to say, okay, we get it. We hear you. We get the point. Can we just move on and talk about something else? At this point in John's gospel, this is precisely what readers might be tempted to think. We get it. We know. By the time we get to chapter 15, where today's reading picks up, Jesus has already summarized the commandments with one word, love. And he continues to call his disciples to go out and do it. It's not the first time in this section of the gospel that Jesus calls the disciples to love. Rather, it's a theme, and it's repeated over and over and over again. And here, it is explained rather plainly. Just as God has loved me, Jesus says, I have loved you. Abide in this love. And then he goes on. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I am giving you these commands so that you might love one another. It seems pretty clear to me. Does it seem clear to you? Most scholars believe that John's gospel was written later than the other gospels. They say it was probably composed around 90 or 100 CE, meaning Common Era. Even though it was written later than the other Gospels, Christ followers have had approximately 1,921 years to read, interpret, and apply this text to their lives. In that time, we have embedded ourselves with political powers, from the ancient Roman Empire to the modern-day Republican and Democratic parties. We have allowed our name and our sacred text to be used to oppress, to marginalize, to dehumanize, and belittle people who are not like us. And that us, by the way, has continued to shift over time in order to suit the powers that be. We have waged war against Muslims. We have put on trial women accused of witchcraft. We have called scientists heretics and gay people abominations. We have engaged in practices of colonization that have led to genocide for all kinds of indigenous peoples worldwide. We have turned a blind eye to discrimination, to death and violence unfolding all around the world. We have created systems of slavery and racism, the likes of which the world has never seen before. We have defended these evils with scripture. We have doubled down on these positions when calls to accountability have come, and we have refused to accept the truth about our past because it is too painful, or perhaps it is too shameful to hear. Yes, the tension between our call to love and our history of hate can be difficult to reconcile. Perhaps we, like the disciples in John's gospel, have been slow to pick up on what Jesus is actually saying when he says, love one another. You see, up to this point in the gospel, Jesus has been dropping little hints here and there by talking about his own calling to lay down his life as an act of love. Like a good shepherd, he will lay down his life for the sheep. It is a narrative detail realized in a symbolic act of foot washing. Perhaps the disciples thought it would end there, that was the extent of this sacrificial love that Jesus was talking about. But now, Jesus is getting a little bit more clear with his words. I am no longer calling you servants, but friends, Jesus says, because you know as much as I do. You are my friends now, and we share the same destiny of self-sacrificing love. A friend lays down one's life for the sake of the other. That is what love looks like in action. Love is not merely words or gestures of affection. Love is not general kindness when an opportunity arises or when it is convenient. Love is standing with others, all others, when they are down, when they are oppressed, when they are lonely, when they are outcast, when every other door seems to be slammed in their face, when no other home is willing to welcome them in. Love says, come in, beloved. You are welcome here. Love means standing with others and putting their needs first, even when it means that it comes at great personal cost. Rabbi Ariel Berger tells a story about a boy named Mason. Mason had traveled to Poland with a group of students from his school, and while he was there, the students toured some of the centers of Jewish life before the Second World War. And they also toured sites of concentration camps. One day, about halfway through the trip, Mason disappeared with one of the program counselors. He wouldn't tell anybody where he was going, and when he got back, he wouldn't tell anybody where he had been, except for just one boy, Rabbi Berger's son. His son was Mason's dear friend. And as Mason began to recount the events of his day, he told the following story. My grandparents were survivors. They were married 3 weeks before the deportation to Auschwitz. And in Auschwitz, they were separated, obviously, and they would go every evening to the fence that separated the men's and the women's sides of the camps. His grandfather would bring a crust of bread or an extra potato to give to his bride. And if he had nothing, he would go to meet her just to see her. until my grandmother, Mason continued, was transferred to a rabbit farm on the outskirts of Auschwitz. The Nazis were doing experiments on rabbits that had to do with finding a cure for typhus. And the rabbit farm was run by a Polish man who noticed that the rabbits were getting better food, attention, and care than the Jewish slave laborers and inmates. Then, Mason said, my grandmother cut her arm on a piece of barbed wire and the cut became infected. It wasn't a serious infection, and if you had antibiotics, it could easily be cured. But of course, if you were a Jew in that place, in that time, there was no way that you were going to get antibiotics. So what did the Polish man who was running the rabbit farm do? He cut his own arm open, and he placed his wound on her wound so that he would get the infection that she had. And indeed, he became infected. And he went to the Nazis and he said, I am one of your best managers, and this rabbit farm is very productive. If I die, you are going to lose a lot of productivity. I need medicine. They gave him the medicine, and he shared it with her, and he saved her life. So where was I the other day? Mason asked. I went to see that Polish man. He's still alive, and he's living on the outskirts of Warsaw, and I went to say thank you for my life. Thank you for my life. No one has greater love than this, we read in the Gospel of John, to lay down one's life for friends. That is what the bold love of God looks like in action. And it's a shame so much of our collective history tells a different story about who we are, the body of Christ, who we are in action. In this case, many, many Christians stood by as Jews were taken from their homes and placed into camps like Auschwitz. It is heartbreaking how pseudo-Christian ideologies were used to support and reinforce the dehumanization and the death and the destruction brought about under the Nazi regime. Thanks be to God for brave individuals who were overcome with courage and emboldened with love. Love that led them down a path of self-sacrificing action, self-sacrificing advocacy, self-sacrificing solidarity with those who were the victims of history's most horrifying events. The truth is, as shameful as the story of our past may be, there have always been brave individuals who persisted in finding ways to show the same kind of love that that Polish rabbit farm manager showed in Rabbi Berger's story. So how do we reclaim the narrative? How do we change our historical legacy to be not one of hatred and violence and exclusion, but one of bold and self-sacrificing love? How can we become not a body of this world, but the body of Christ that is bold love in this world? Maybe it starts with the word friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you, Jesus says. I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Love one another. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's own friends. Friends. It seems to me that Jesus is making it very plain. If the Gospel of John was a sermon, then this would be the call, the ending. If the Gospel of John were a song, then this would be the refrain, love. And let that love be so bold that it is utterly selfless. Selfless enough to lead all the way to a street corner, a halfway house, a welcome house, your own house, a jailhouse, a grocery store line, a parking lot, a restaurant, a border, a boardroom, a war room, a courtroom, or maybe even a cross. So let us be bold in love because we follow a Christ who who was bold in love. And let us boldly tell the stories of that love so that the body of Christ in this world might gain a new reputation, a new place in history, a new identity in our community, one that resonates more fully with the Christ we claim to follow. The one who showed us how to tend the sheep, how to wash the feet, and how to lay down our very lives for the sake of our friends, each and every one. Amen.
Well, we've all got our stories, plenty left to tell. We've roamed the hills and valleys, touched heaven and been through hell. Though we try and we try to do you right, we still stumble and we fall. Still you open up our eyes to see your light. It's always shining through and all. But Lord, we sometimes can't explain the things we do. But our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we'll remember what you told us from the start. Just go on and love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. With your crooked heart. We know that no one's perfect. We're all broken and we're flawed. But the fissures and the fractures are bound together by God. And though we try and we try to do you right, we still stumble and we fall. Still you open up our eyes to see your light. It's always shining through and all. Though we sometimes can't explain the things we do, but our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we'll remember what you told us from the start. Just go on and love your crooked neighbor with your crooked. Love your crooked neighbor with your crooked. Love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. With your crooked heart.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. On this Mother's Day, we'd like to honor all those who mother, biologically or otherwise, those who long to mother and can't, those who struggle with infertility, those who have experienced pregnancy loss, those who have lost their mothers, and those mothers who have lost their children. Understanding that this day can bring on a wide range of emotions, we give ourselves permission to receive and experience all of them, as we also give God thanks for the way God acts as our mother, gathering all of us in like a mother hen. May we all find comfort, peace, strength, joy, life, and love in God's mothering presence and in each other. Now let's take a moment to check on what's happening at Greystone this week. This Wednesday, May 12th at 6 p.m., please join us for the last Wednesday night Zoom meeting of the church and school year, when Dr. Chris Gamble from the Center for Congregational Health will be joining us for a presentation on rebuilding community after COVID. He will provide a view of how community has been affected, positively and negatively, during the pandemic, and ways the church can rebuild community going forward. We hope to see you there. at 9 a.m. this coming Saturday, May 15th. Children are invited to join us in the Sawmill parking lot for a morning of friends, fun, and exercise we're calling Bikes and Trikes and Stories, Oh My. Kids are encouraged to bring their bikes, trikes, and scooters, along with their safety gear, and ride in the church parking lot. There will be an obstacle course, some of our biker friends will be with us to offer some safety tips, and there will be a break in the morning for story time with Pastor April, when the church will provide a snack for all children. At least one adult per family is required for safety, supervision, and to help children follow COVID protocol. As always, masks and social distancing guidelines will be followed. Check your children's emails from Pastor April for more details. And finally, our next Leadership Council meeting will be next Sunday, May 16th at 4 p.m. Please check your church email for Zoom information. Thank you for joining us this morning. We hope you have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Friends, as you leave this place and go out into your everyday lives, go forth bold in love and go forth with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your feet and walk with them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
Thank you. this summer. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. That's all we need. There's nothing you can know that isn't known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. No way you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. That's all you need. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.